Hello, everyone, and welcome to the Shoujo Podcast, where I, Sarah, introduce my friend Joe to Shoujo anime series. And hopefully we have a few new listeners here as we are starting a brand new series, Revolutionary Girl Utena, a classic of the genre and our second kind of old school Rose of Versailles that we previously covered is kind of our top ranked show. So I anticipate this one pretty good, and I'm already more jazzed up to talk about it than I was our previous show, My Happy Marriage. So it should be a good episode, folks.
But you first, can listen to My Happy Marriage all the way through.
That's right. That's there. That's it's Joe. There. Yeah, Joe. Do you think we should be like, for any new listeners, just be like, I'm Joe and I blah blah blah.
Yeah, I'm Joe. Hi. my name is Joe. Normally on this show, I am the person who has not seen the very much shoujo anime basically at all, because I didn't get into watching anime until I was in college, and I kind of just watched.
The genre is essentially dead by that point.
Yeah, not a lot of like contemporary stuff coming on that was like exciting for the age group I was in, let me say. So I'm making up for it now by having my friend Sarah show me the shoujo anime, except not this time. This time I have actually seen this show and she hasn't. So it's a little
bit
backwards.
This is the one and only Joe had seen before we started the podcast.
Yes.
Because Joe is a big fan of old anime. And the Rose of Versailles was an excellent pick. So, and you've seen this one all the way through and you've been excited to cover it. So I'm excited to see. I've got thoughts. I've got feelings. And look, it's taking 2 years in the podcast for us to get a pink haired protagonist.
Yep. Finally,
we
got it.
Because there's so many in shoujo, yes.
This is kind of a weird one for us to be doing, I'm realizing, because a lot of it is like commenting on different tropes that are popular, but we haven't really seen any of the tropes in a lot of the stuff that we have watched yet, so.
Yeah, that's true. Yes. So if you guys enjoy this episode and our coverage of this, we definitely recommend that you go back and listen to some of the other series that we've covered. And I guess next week will be our anniversary, February 11th.
Ooh. Two years.
Exciting times for us.
Yeah, that's good.
So Joe's, let's see, you've been watching anime for over a decade now.
Yep.
Okay. Yeah, I've been longer fan of it, collector of manga myself, and I just reorganized all my manga and got two new bookshelves, so I'm like, a lot of my manga is shoujo, even though like the, you know, shonen series run longer typically than I feel like half my collection of over 500 volumes is shoujo, so even if they're shorter series, there's manga is definitely the medium it thrives on. And so it's like, oh, yeah, this is good stuff. So we'll see. I've never seen, like, The Rose of Versailles is having a comeback right now. So, you know, it had the movie and we're seeing, like, a nice new reprint of the manga. But I've never seen any physical media for Revolutionary Girl Utena.
It got a nice release. It came out like there's only two volumes of it. Utena is not an adaptation, is a thing. It was created at the same time. It's kind of one of those like series that is kind of pitched as a franchise. I think Pat Labor kind of works the same way, where it's like they generate the idea for a series and then they create a bunch of stuff kind of all around it.
Simultaneously. Okay.
Yeah. So they're separate because I think they basically tell different versions of the same type of story, I think, with the same characters, but they're one is not adapting the other.
Yeah. Okay.
I haven't read the manga. I haven't read it yet because my favorite thing to do is to acquire comics and then not read them.
Yeah, that's wild. Because I feel, well, I feel like I have a few volumes, but and you're not, you don't have nearly as many as I do. You just are reading too many actual books.
I am reading actual books. That's true.
You have obligations in the reading world of multiple book clubs, and I only read for fun.
Yeah.
But yeah, it was nice reorganizing and getting more bookshelves, and so now I can expand further.
Nice. Even more books.
Yes.
The home library is coming together.
It's my pride and joy. I've been thinking about just starting. I have a temporary chair because my friend had left it at the office, but we closed one of the offices, and so like people were trying to take it just because the office we work in, it's like people leave old stuff and you just take it. So I'm saving it for now. But the plan I would like is to get like a beanbag and maybe just start doing streams where I just read my manga, a way to like re-engage with my manga collection. Because I'm like reading certain ones, or like I read through all of Claymore last year and stuff. I feel like I haven't sat down and read through all of them as much as I should for how much money I've spent on these things. So
yeah,
that's a thing to do. But yeah,
that is good. I need to do that pretty badly because I am backlogged on manga now somehow, because it's like I'm supposed to be reading The Rose of Versailles. I did start reading The Rose of Versailles, which I'm supposed to be doing as a bonus episode for this show, which I will get to. I have Utena also, which I'll probably read after we finish covering this. I have all of the Akira manga that I got some time ago because it was on sale. And I'm like, yeah, okay, let's get that. I have all of the Ghost in the Shell manga also after I watch that show, even though I know it's different. And then they announced they're going to make some new show that's like supposed to be more the style of that. So I'm like, okay, yeah, I'll take a look at this.
These are all physical copies?
Physical copies.
Because I know you digitally. Okay.
They're like compendium.
Yeah, you can get some more bookshelves. Get more. I have like omnibus. Like all omnibus bookshelf now. Or my fancy special edition hardcover, whatever. And then.
Oh.
But yeah, I like to organize by publisher. So wow. It's like at least all.
That's intense.
That's what I do. I know. Well, it's like. And then certain authors will have been published, or certain series by the same author are on different publishers. So it's like, oh, my God, they can't be together.
Oh, no, that's that's funny. Yeah, the only series I have that isn't like a full release thing, like I have like Delicious in Dungeon. I have that one as like a set. The only one I have and buying like as it comes out is
Witch Hat
Atelier. So.
What's the anime? When does that come out? Because the animation looks really nice.
I think it's next season. I think it's in the
romance in that
spring.
There's that handsome white haired wizard. No,
no. Well, the main character, they're all kids, and the main characters are mostly kids. So there's not going to be romance with the hot guy.
No adult people.
I mean, there are adults. Well, it's mostly centered on the kids.
Imagine ship. Okay, fine. It looks good.
There are hot people in it, though. So, like, adults. Hot adults, obviously.
Don't give me hot people and do nothing with the hotness.
Oh, they're like, doing stuff. I mean, they're not doing things.
Well, I guess it's fandom. I guess it's, like, they'll sell if you have hot people, even if they don't do anything with their hotness.
They're
doing
stuff. You can sell
their hotness on body pillows and shit.
Okay. Yeah.
Uh-huh.
But, yeah, I need to catch up on that. I'm just behind on everything.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Anyway, what's been going on? This is the part of the show where we talk about our lives.
Yes. Let's see. I had to get my dishwasher replaced.
Replaced?
My laundry. Yeah. It just like stopped draining or whatever.
Oh.
So that got replaced. This is the nice thing about renting is like just someone comes and does it. My dog loses her mind, but.
Uh-huh.
Let's see. Yeah. My washing machine is also broken right now. So gotta get that fixed. Bridgerton. I rewatched all of Bridgerton this weekend for the new season. So I watched that. So now I'm just like, oh, love. I want love. And then also Love Island All-Stars is really good right now. And so is Traitors. Traitors is good as well.
Okay.
So I feel like it's a good time for I've slowed down on my Survivor watching right now.
Mm.
I don't know. The new seasons suck. New era Survivor blows. But I've got a little while until season 50 comes out. Still haven't finished Expedition 33. Neo 3 comes out. I think I'll buy that instead of Code Vein 2 for the time being, because Code Vein 2 seems to be getting mixed reviews.
But... yeah, that's what I've heard too.
Yeah. Yeah.
Cool.
Yep.
Well, I.
So we've got, yeah, what? Tell us, Joe.
I have gone to the opera.
Ew.
I saw Les Mis here in town because they were touring. And so I saw that.
You're just a culture guy.
My first opera, like in person. It was good. I liked it a lot. It's really fun. I'd seen the movie.
Is the opera only singing or is there dialogue too? Okay, so you have to understand what they're singing to know.
Yes, which is not terribly difficult. Like, I was always kind of concerned because I'd only ever seen opera, like, I've never seen it in live, like in person. And all of the videos I've seen of opera are usually like not in English, like they're like Italian or something, which of course I'm never going to understand anything they're saying there. But you can do a pretty decent job of like understanding everything they're saying. That being said, it does help to actually know the plot of the thing going into it. So I, you know, fortunately, there is a Les Mis movie that I did watch forever ago when it came out. So I do know the plot of Les Mis, which made it a lot easier than if I hadn't. But yeah, really fun, really cool, like set going on, like the sets. They had like lots of transitions because I'm like so focused on what the actors are doing. They like were able to do the transitions without me noticing half the time. It's pretty impressive.
See, Joe's watching cultured stuff and I'm watching garbage reality. So
it's all culture,
coming
baby.
To you. Yeah. Well-rounded.
Yeah. Sounds good.
Was it like a date? Did you go on a little date?
I did go on a date, but my girlfriend bought tickets like day of because she kind of lives near the theater. So they were cheaper than what you would normally pay to go. But we didn't sit next to each other. So
you didn't sit next to each other?
No. It was funny though.
Oh, dang.
It was still good.
Were you like within eyesight of each other?
We were just solo
experience.
Yeah, we were like a row apart and like several seats down. So it wasn't like terrible. Like, you know, it was easy to meet up during the intermission.
Uh-huh. Yeah. Okay.
But it wasn't next to each other. But yeah.
Hey, save a buck. I'm all for that.
Oh, it's a lot of bucks. Let me tell you, going to that stuff is not cheap. God. And the tickets we got were pretty good. Because if you go day of, I mean, like, you know, you're getting whatever's left, so they're just trying to offload them, but you have no idea what's left. So when she said that there were only 9 seats left, so we got pretty lucky.
Okay, nice.
Yeah, so doing that. If you're a new listener, you may not know that me and my friends are watching all of the Disney animated theatrical releases. And we finally got to The Little Mermaid. So the Disney Renaissance is on. So I watched that for the first time in forever.
And
I don't remember the part with the French chef at all. That whole section happened and I'm like, what is this?
Where he's like chasing Sebastian. Or no.
Yeah.
Yes. It's Sebastian. No.
Which Sebastian is like a crab. Big character. Yeah, that's Sebastian.
Oh, Flounder's the fish.
Flounder, not in as much as I thought he was going to be. Sebastian in it way more. Like, it really
he
is
limited
like,
to the water as a fish.
That's true. That's true. Land, so I was. It is fun. I do like Sebastian. I did not realize he was like such a major character. He's almost the lead. Like it's very funny. Like what? Because I'm watching
she
all these.
Also can't talk for a lot of the.
That's true. Ariel cannot talk. Very importantly. Yeah, it's very interesting, like, watching these Disney movies that I hadn't seen such a long time, because I remember ideas about them, but not, like, what actually goes on. Like, I did not remember in Sleeping Beauty that the fairies are the main characters.
They certainly have the most personality.
Yeah, well, I mean, the camera follows them, basically, the whole time until the end, so it's, like, pretty, I don't know. It's very interesting. Also, like, everybody thinks that Bambi's mom dies very early into the movie Bambi. It's, like, halfway through. It's, like, near the end almost.
That way it's extra traumatic because you think she's gonna make it.
Yeah, so it's like I'm interested to see how these other movies hold up, because you know, it's the ones I feel like I know, like, oh yeah, sure, I know what happens in, you know, Aladdin and Hercules and stuff like that, but like, do I?
Yeah, well, I don't know. I mean, some people, I mean, Little Mermaid is not one that I super found. Like, I definitely watched it. I probably owned it. But, like, it's not one that I think I was ever, like, I feel like watching The Little Mermaid. It's not one that
Yeah.
I found as interesting of one.
Good songs, though.
Yes. Yes. And I've seen the, it's cool to see all the, like, on Instagram, like, all the live action modeling of, like, the lady that they based Ariel off of stuff. So that's cool to see.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's very, like, because the movie before this was Oliver and Company, and in that one, it was, they had a lot of very noticeable, like, 3D kind of shots where they either, like, I don't know if they could produce a 3D object, like, in a something. Like, they clearly, like, filmed something that's 3D and, like, either painted over it or something like that, because it's like they do these camera turns. There were a couple of those in The Little Mermaid that I thought were, it seems like they're getting better at it kind of as it goes on. So we are kind of seeing the progression of some of these different techniques as well, because it's a little awkward in Oliver and Company. It was a lot better in The Little Mermaid. So I'm like paying attention to more of that stuff, watching them in order, which is kind of fun.
All right, guys, is Dinosaur on your watch list?
Oh, of course it is. Yeah.
The ride just closed.
I know.
My favorite ride at Disney.
Yeah. Rip the tragic dinosaur ride.
Okay. I just call it the Uncanny Valley dinosaur. It's like a little, the lemurs freak me out, I think.
Yeah.
But
it's going to be, it's going to be jarring to watch that movie.
Freaking good. Good movie.
Yeah. The thing is, we're watching all of them. So the next movie we're watching is not, you know, whatever comes after, I think, The Rescuers Down Under. We're actually watching the DuckTales movie.
I have not seen that.
There's some.
I feel like that was liked. Is DuckTales, or there's it's a TV DuckTales show.
There's a TV show. There's a TV show that ran well in the late 80s, early 90s, I guess, that people liked. But they made a movie that I guess got a theatrical release. So it's on the list that we have to watch. But none of us have watched this movie or seen this show. So we don't know who these guys are. Because it's like Huey, Dewey, and Louie, who I know. And Scrooge McDuck, who I also know. And then like two randos that I'm like, who are these people?
Is there like a duck girlfriend?
Yeah, there's like a girl one and like a jock one, I think.
Oh, okay. Well, you'll have to let me know how that goes.
Yeah.
Or let all of us know. I guess, like, what is the Disney movie that either you missed and watching it as an adult, you're like, oh, wow, this is really good. Or is there something that is like, oh, I really liked this as a kid, and now I'm like, this is not that good. What's been like the biggest surprise, I guess, in watching, or just the like, oh, wow, Disney used to be messed up, what they put in the movies.
Well, I mean, the old one, right? I mean, Song of the South, we did watch that because there is an animated segment of that. That was obviously terrible, although I kind of knew that was going to be terrible. The one I would say is the most, I never watched The Rescuers.
Oh, yeah, it's so good.
And so that ended up being very fun. And I'm like, oh, I like completely missed this one somehow. So
and the sequel is good. So it's a shame you're not watching it.
We are watching the sequel.
Oh, you are.
Yeah, it's just not, it's not the next movie. Because we have DuckTales. Okay, it's the good movie after next. We are going to watch it, though.
Rescuers, great.
Yeah. So we'll get there.
Nice. Ah, how fun. Yeah, Joe does social fun things like that. And
you could do this. This is not a hard thing to do.
Obligation. Friendship commitment.
I have to watch this an hour and a half movie every week.
The extent of that. Yeah.
I do way more prep work for this podcast than that commitment of watching a movie a week.
Yes. My work comes after. I don't know. I'm just in like a, I'm in a lazy slump. I took a nap before this.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I gotta get, I don't know. I need to be doing something, but I don't feel like doing things until like, I don't know, after work. It's like but then it's dark outside.
Yeah, it being winter does not help. Outside.
Yeah.
Motivation wise. I get it. But you know what does give us motivation?
This show we're about to talk about.
Brand new show. And you know what
that
means?
Why don't you tell us all about it, Joe?
It means I get to talk about the background in production of the show. So we are watching
everyone's favorite segment.
Yeah.
To be sure.
Later on, I'll talk about voice actors and, you know, who's what and what else they're in. But because it's the first episode, I get to talk about the production company and things like that. So Revolutionary Girl Utena is created by the group Bepapas. I guess I'm going to say that. BEPAPAS, which is a group founded by Kunihiko Ikuhara, who's a director, worked on the Sailor Moon anime. The second season was kind of the director for that. That's Sailor Moon R. That's when they kind of start introducing more Sailor Scouts than kind of the core, what, five? Six. Also part of this group is Chiho Saito, who's a manga artist, did a lot of contributions to this. Shinya Hasegawa, who is an art director and an animator, just worked on Neon Genesis Evangelion, which came out the year before Utena came out. So there's a lot of comparisons kind of made between the two because they came out around the same time. Yoji Enokido is a screenwriter. Wrote for Sailor Moon, wrote for Eva, will go on to write for Ouran High School Host Club, and even recently the Mobile Suit Gundam, the new one, GQ or G-Cux, I don't know how to say that still. And the last credited member of this group is Yuichiro Oguro, who is a writer and editor, does a lot of publishing work, it seems. That's kind of their main area of expertise. So this show has, I'm pausing for a moment while Sarah gets a blanket.
All right.
So this anime was produced by JC Staff. This was their fourth production. This animation company would go on to make a lot of stuff, including Excel Saga, the Parappa the Rappa TV show, which I did not know existed. They would make Azumanga Daioh, Toradora, all of the certain magical index stuff. They made Food Wars, which is very popular. They make Danmachi, which I like. They make Psyche K, which I know is popular. And they also made the One Punch Man Season 3, which I don't think was well received.
No, isn't that the one where I keep seeing the terrible animation of like some guy sliding down a grassy hill or something?
Maybe. I mean, I don't know. Like, they see, if you look at their like production history, it's like, you know, they're making some stuff and then they're making like a million things at the same time. So, you know, they're like a huge outlet.
Okay.
So may not mean that much that they're making all of this stuff because it may be entirely different teams of people. So who
this
knows?
This is newer than I realized.
Yeah. So this aired from April to December of 1997. Pretty acclaimed when it came out. It ended up winning best television category at the Animation Kobe Awards that year. So it's, you know, well received. It came out the year after Neon Genesis Evangelion did, which was like huge in Japan. So people mm-hmm. are constantly comparing it to that. So a lot of this stuff is about, they're also both like kind of coming of age stories ish. So some overlap, but not really, they're not really inspired by one another.
Gotcha.
I'm going off of the Wikipedia page here. In terms of inspirations for the show, one of the big ones is the Takarazuka Revue. Is that how you say that?
Mm-hmm.
All woman theater trope, or theater troupe. God, I'm just pronouncing everything wrong. So this is a
welcome to my life.
Yes, this is a theater group. That does kind of all women performances. You can kind of contrast that with, I think, Kabuki at a certain point became all male theater. So this is kind of a counterpoint to that. This starts in the early 20th century, like post or prior to World War One, I believe. And it's been kind of going on ever since. A couple things about this. Number one, huge female dominated audience. It's got like people are estimating it's like 90%. Women are the main audience of this. They do a lot of different adaptations of the theater troupe.
Utena. Okay.
Of the theater troupe. Yeah. So I'm still talking about this theater troupe because this theater troupe.
Gotcha.
The more I'm reading about it, the more I'm like, this gives us tools to understand what's going on in Utena. So, you know, they did a lot of adaptations of things. One of their most popular one is actually a Rose of Versailles adaptation. So that's pretty fun. So different actors can kind of specialize in different roles. So the women that specialize in playing the kind of male roles are called otokoyaku, and they are extremely popular and like cast a big shadow on the shoujo like manga scene specifically. Like they were talking about in the Wikipedia article about this, about how Tezuka actually grew up near where this theater troupe performed. And so a lot of the stuff was, you know, a lot of he took a lot of inspiration for that, especially for Princess Knight, which is a Tezuka manga, which like played a really big influence on Shoujo kind of going forward. So that's one of the major inspirations, is this theater group.
Yeah, we even right now, I think it's like Clear in the Moonlight or some name like that manga, that a new anime is just coming out where it's like a very, or it's like a chick that all the girls swoon over because she's traditionally, you know, it's just like that all the girls call her the prince thing. So this is definitely a thing that's been around for a while. And we have a new one that's out right now that kind of has this too. So even in 2026, we've got character like that kind of.
Yeah, this might be
she's
the
not
source
embracing it like Utena
of that, actually. Like this theater group might be the source of that, with like the female fans. Like, I guess there was a time when they were like writing love letters to the like actresses who played the men, that kind of thing. So this is like very much a real world thing that is happening.
Well, I'd be interested. This would be interesting because I feel like, especially if it's like dudes kind of maybe don't treat women at the time, or just all of time women not treated the best by guys. So to have like a more romanticized version of a man being presented to them by another woman maybe is like something to get excited about.
Yeah. Well, it's interesting. Talking about the reasons for the theorized reasons for like why it's such a female dominated audience. For some reason on the Wikipedia, these were both cited by Western scholars is what they cited, and not Japanese scholars, which I think is weird because surely they have written about that. But anyway, the two kind of things they touched on is like, one, you know, there's a lot, it's very like lesbian coded, right? Because we all know that it's a female only troupe. So
yeah,
everything has lesbian undertones to it. There's a lot of interest in that from the audience for sure. And then the second piece is kind of the idea of like women performing as men and being able to like inhabit both aspects of that, that people find interesting. So there's kind of this dual thing, which I think is going to be super relevant for Utena kind of going forward.
Mm.
So a thing to think about while we're watching this.
Yeah. Fun.
Other inspirations. Shuji Teriyama's experimental theater. There's kind of a sequence that gets repeated in these episodes of a theater troupe. That is that apparently
the
is
shadows.
Very much inspired by this. Just some like tidbits that I thought were interesting. They also cited Junichi Nakahara as like an inspiration, and he's an artist that is credited for developing the eyes of shoujo manga characters. So he like drew in like 1912
sparkle eyeballs.
Yeah, he like drew a lot of like women's fashion images, and that kind of what is taken off. Apparently the reason he drew eyes like that is because he had a hobby of like making French dolls, so he drew them like that, and that's kind of where we end up with why do shoujo eyes look like that, which I think is interesting.
So what did anime eyes, because I feel like, what did they look like before that, or were they just less, because I feel like it's light. Well, it's like the detail of light that makes shoujo eyes very distinct. So is it just more black eyes without much lighting on them is what it looked? I'm like, I know I want to look this. Just teach us the history of everything, Joe.
Oh, there are better, much better people who can do that. I'm sure there's like tons of YouTube essays you can look at. The other thing I would contrast it with, because like when I think of really old anime, it's like Astro Boy, right? Which like looks totally different than that.
Yeah.
They have much more.
Okay, I'm looking up some of this art and I see.
Yeah. I mean, not totally different, right? Because that's also Tezuka. So,
yeah.
But you know, there's like a variety of different ways. You know, if you look at older manga art, there's kind of more things are not as like set in. So they're drawing inspiration from different places. Let me put it that way.
Yeah.
And it's a little. Yeah.
This guy's art is great. I love it. Okay. Fun.
So. Yeah, that's fun. Yeah, it's fun to learn history, even if you're just kind of shallowly hopping through Wikipedia articles. I'm sure there is some better stuff we could dig into later as we kind of get more into it. you know, obviously the show is going to be in conversation with Princess Knight, which we have not watched, but maybe I will in the background while we watch this show, and The Rose of Versailles, which we did watch. So I'm assuming we're going to make lots of comparisons for that, listener. So if you have not watched The Rose of Versailles, we're probably going to be talking about it quite a bit because that was a kind of big show for us. So maybe check that out while we're slow rolling all of these episodes.
Yeah, it's great. Even if, I mean, if you like this, then you're, you know, I think open-minded to watching older. And obviously The Rose of Versailles is from like the late 70s, but I feel like it was still a great experience or a viewing experience. And I'm not drawn to old anime the way Joe is. So definitely recommend it.
Yeah. All right. I think we can get into the first episode now.
Yeah.
So in this show, the episodes are called duels. So I'm going to call them that because I think it's fun.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
So duel one is called The Rose Bride. We open on a fairy tale. We learn about a pink-haired princess whose parents have died. Suddenly, a purple-haired prince riding a white horse appears before her and wraps her in a rose-scented embrace. He tells her to never lose hope and to grow up nobly, and then he gives her a rose-crested ring that he says will lead her back to him one day, and leaves. However, the princess is so impressed by the prince that it inspired her to become a prince herself one day, as we kind of end the fairy tale there.
Which is a fun takeaway. Like, be inspired by the individual and not by to be like them and not to become what they think that person would desire, but to embody them directly is cool.
Yeah, it's a very fun scene just because, like, I like the narrator being like at the end where it's like she was so impressed that she didn't have to become a prince. And it's like, I wonder if that's a good idea. We cut to the real world where 8th grader Wakaba Shinohara is waiting for somebody before school. Some girls ask her who she's waiting for, and she says that she's waiting for her boyfriend. And they're like, and they laugh and they're like, oh, okay, yeah, we already saw her going to school earlier. Like, we know who you're talking about. They ditched you.
I did not at the beginning realize they were middle schoolers still. I thought this was high school.
Yeah, they're in 8th grade, but some of the other students we're going to meet are older than them and would be like considered
eighth high grade. Schools. Okay, I'm trying to think. Isn't middle school just 2 years in Japan? Is that right? Is it 7th? It's 3 years still.
I don't know.
Elementary is until 6th grade. And then is it 7, 8, 9 in middle school there? So wouldn't that mean, and then because high school is only 3 years and 11, 12. So if she's a middle schooler, if she's in 8th grade, she's going to be in 8th grade she's going to be in middle school for another year.
I think so, because this is like an academy, so it's like I assume it's a private school, so they kind of
probably
have both,
like,
is my 14? Guess.
14?
Yeah. Yeah, I think they are 14. I think that's right.
And this is this supposed to be in like just an alternate world, but set in the time that it releases? So this would be like midnight, because like we haven't, I was like looking to see if there's going to be any indication of technology. We have not seen, so I don't know, is this supposed to take place like in the 90s, like the time that the show came out?
I think it's supposed to be kind of vague.
Not specific.
When it takes place.
Okay, gotcha.
We do get some machines later on, I will say. I think we probably get some computers in their very 90s computers, that's my guess. So yeah, I think that's probably around when it takes place. Okay. We get some establishing.
It seems like normal, but extravagant. I don't know, it's...
Oh, yeah. The art's crazy. Continue.
Well, I like that. What you're going to talk about, location. Location is like a character itself here, or like the place, because I feel like a lot of anime is just about the characters. But this show seems to be very set on showing the environment as well.
Yeah, it's extremely stylized. So we get some establishing shots of Otori Academy, which is the place that they're at. The most absurdly ornate school campus ever. It has like spires. It has like buttresses. The like architecture is crazy. There's an enclosed greenhouse within a courtyard, and the greenhouse is like in the shape of a birdcage. There's a giant park behind the campus with like stained glass everywhere. It's crazy.
I feel like. I'm seeing some stuff in this that I feel like I've seen elsewhere, like Petite Princess UC feels a little familiar to this in some ways, but at least the greenhouse part, very pretty place.
Yes. We meet our protagonist, a pink-haired woman wearing a black and red men's uniform named Tenjo Utena. She is immediately accosted by her teacher for wearing a boy's uniform, but Utena just like looks through, like flips through the student handbook and is like, well, there's no rule against it, so I guess it's like that. I'm staying the same.
Okay, but it's not like it's the boy's uniform because it's a different color.
Everybody else wears green.
Oh my god.
It's so funny.
It bothers me. Why? Oh, and I love the teacher's glasses.
Like,
I want to cosplay as the teacher. She's got the most fabulous, like, cat eye sunglasses.
Mm-hmm. We get these, like, fun, when we're introduced to characters, like, framing shots where we like, have, like, a, like, fancy frame around the character. Mm-hmm. There's a lot of, like, on-screen elements that show up.
Yeah.
That I don't think, well, you know, we haven't seen as much in other shows, I feel like.
No. Yeah.
Let's see. We cut to Utena playing basketball with the boys, and she's incredible, and all the girls love her. The guys, for their part, ask her to join the team instead of being jealous, but she's like, I'm not going to join the team, because that's the boys' team. I'm a girl. But they're like, but you're wearing a boy's uniform. And she's like, yeah, I'm just wearing that because I want to be a prince. I don't want to be a boy. I want to be a prince. Which is a distinctly different thing in her mind.
Yeah, I was going to say, in her mind, I was like, it'll be interesting to hear more from her on, like, where she's drawing the line.
Yeah.
And things.
Well, this is what's interesting, like, the tie back with the all-woman theater troupe is like, oh, she's, like, wants to play the role. Like, she doesn't want to become that thing. Like, this is not, like, a trans character. This is, like, somebody who is trying to inhabit something else.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I'm like not a trans character in like the traditional sense, let me put it that way.
Yeah.
Utena walks out and sees the school greenhouse, which again is a giant birdcage looking building within the courtyard. Inside, she sees a purple haired woman and notes that the courtyard smells like roses. So where have we seen that before? She hangs out on the balcony of the second floor courtyard and sees that the purple haired girl have some kind of confrontation with a boy with long green hair.
I feel like green hair is just the color of a villain's hair.
Oh,
I feel
yeah.
like if you have green hair in anime, you're going to be a bad guy.
Yeah. Utena reads this as a lover's quarrel and is shocked when the boy slaps the girl. Right. I should have added. There's a content warning for Utena. There's a lot of content warning for Utena's, but for these two episodes, it's going to be people are slapping Anthy a lot.
Oh, I know. Freaking. Yeah. Wild.
Yep.
She just takes it.
Yep. She kind of falls down. He's about to slap her again when he's stopped by a red-haired boy. Ooh.
This guy has nice hair.
This guy does have nice. Like, it looks like the same hair as the other guy, but somehow it's nicer.
Well, his is like red, but there's a lighter streak. He's almost got a rogue thing, but it's just one streak of his hair is a lighter tone. It's nice. It's a nice subtle detail. But all these boys have the longest lock.
Yes.
But I don't know. We're already seeing, because this is like, I feel like a lot of the times you don't see characters with varying appearances, but we even see green hair boy with like his hair up in a ponytail for stuff. So it's nice to see her putting the effort into like, oh, different outfits, different hair.
Yeah.
Fashioning.
Utena tries to make sense of this when Wakaba jumps on her. Utena asks Wakaba who these people are, and she explains that the red-haired boy is Toga Kiryu, the student council president. The green-haired boy is Sionji Kyoichi, the vice president, and the girl is Anthy Himemiya, who is also on the student council, probably. Kind of unclear, but we think that's true, because she is very quiet.
Mm-hmm.
Utena's like, oh, are like Anthy and Sionji dating? But Wakaba protests, because she clearly has a crush on Sionji, the guy who just slapped Anthy.
Yeah, she must have missed that part.
Yeah. We cut.
I was just going to say, everyone's very pretty.
Yes.
In this. Like, everyone's slim and tall and lovely hair. I like the art style a lot.
Yeah. My mom was, like, struggling with the art style. So.
Oh, was she? I mean, because the guys have very narrow faces.
Yes.
So it could seem like they have pointy faces. I could see that being off-putting. That's, like, with Skip Beat, the art style is like that, too.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Where it's, like, kind of strange looking at first, but everyone's very pretty.
Yeah, you get used to it.
Mm-hmm.
All right, we cut to the student council, who, in addition to Toga, Sionji, and Anthy, consists of like a blue-haired boy and an orange-haired woman, but we don't learn their names yet, and they don't really do anything, so I'm just gonna wait to introduce them until they do something.
Okay, I thought the blue hair person was a girl, but
nope.
Okay. Confirmed, boy.
Yep. Anyway, everybody except Anthy are wearing Prince outfits. This is important. And they talk about how they're all chosen members who bear the rose seal and must adhere to the code, capital C code. Anyway, they all hate how Sionji's treating the Rose Bride. They're like, look, man, we know you're engaged to her, but you can't go around like slapping her in public, dude. This is bad. It's bad optics, Sionji. Toga then explains that the student council exists by the will of end of the world, all capital, a proper noun. Yeah. And if he learns about this, he's not going to be happy. But Sionji's like, yeah, whatever. I could treat the Rose Bride however I want. And Anthy confirms that as the Rose Bride, he could treat her however she wants or however he wants. Thank you, Anthy.
Yeah, this is, I was like, I can follow what's happening, but also I was like, this is weird.
Oh, yeah. They throw you in it.
That up.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So there may be multiple times during our recaps where I'm just like, let's just pause here and think about what's going on.
Oh, yes. Yeah. Like good.
Yeah. So end of the world is a person or a group or something.
An entity.
Is an entity.
Mysterious entity.
That I guess
these people
lets the student council exist. People. Who I guess are a bunch of people who hang out in Prince uniforms and have matching rings and adhere to the code.
Yes, but no one else except them knows about this stuff.
Yeah.
To everyone else, they're just part of the student council.
Because yeah.
This is just a normal high school. But also it's the high school and middle school. I guess all the schools on campus together. It's not like we're seeing kids from elementary school.
Yep.
And Anthy is in middle school, but these guys are in high school, or are they because they're talking about like, oh, it's a middle schooler. So
yep.
Cool. High school guy engaged to middle school child bride.
Anthy is not wearing a Prince uniform, and she is the Rose Bride.
Mm-mm.
The only one, seemingly.
Yes.
Toga reminds Sionji that there will be a new duelist soon, but Sionji dismisses him. He's like, whatever, who cares? We cut to Wakaba and Utena hanging out. Wakaba asks about Utena's Rosecrest ring, because Utena also has one of the rings that the student council has. And she points out that it looks similar to the academy's crest, which is also a rose, and asks where Utena got it. And Utena tells her that her memory is kind of hazy, but she remembers it as a prince on a white horse giving it to her. And Wakaba is like, yeah, I used to think about princes and princesses as a kid a lot, too. I also used to think about fairy tales, Utena.
Mm.
I didn't base my whole life on it, though.
I'm guessing, are we going to get a revelation of, like, Utena is not from here, but came here because the ring resembles the school sigil and stuff?
I mean, maybe. Like, it's pretty clear that
around and
in the fairy tale.
Maybe.
Mm-hmm.
Dear listeners, Joe knows everything. He's going to feign ignorance. He knows. He's gonna be like, wow, sir, that's a bad guess. Like,
I don't remember everything perfectly, and I don't really feel like I necessarily interpreted this all correct the first time I watched it either. So
okay.
But yeah, but I mean, like, Utena and Anthy have the same hair color as the prince and the princess in the fairy tale, but their roles are reversed. Although I think it's pretty obvious that Utena is the princess in the story because she becomes a prince like she's doing now.
Yeah.
Anyway, they see a commotion over by the bulletin board. A bunch of guys are gathered around to mock a love letter that has been pinned to the board, and Utena rips it down, saying that they should be ashamed for all being such bullies. She turns to see Wakaba crying and chases after her, asking if she wrote that letter to Sionji, which she did.
Which I feel like chasing her and yelling to draw attention is like, hey, everyone, it's her letter. Just in case you guys didn't put that together, let me announce that so she can be mocked directly. Ugh.
Yeah.
Whatever. No one's thinking about that. I'm just like, play it cool.
She does not play it cool.
Subtle. No.
Utena goes to confront Sionji, who's in the kendo club room because he's also the kendo team captain, I think. Sionji denies doing anything, but is a huge asshole about it. So Utena challenges him to a duel after school. Sionji's like, wait a minute, a duel? Oh, you're that new duelist Toga was talking about like 5 minutes ago. Yeah, all right, sure. Let's go duel in the forest area, like behind the school after school. And Utena's like, the forbidden forest we're not allowed to go into? And he's like, yeah. So they have this.
It does not sound safe.
It's crazy. They have.
I would not go to the forest alone with some mean dude who's slapping girls.
Yeah. In the establishing shot, it's like a gigantic forest in the background. It is crazy that they're just like, oh yeah, no one's allowed there. Just don't ask questions about it. It's like enormous.
Yes.
We it's end this huge. Scene and cut to the first segment with the Kashira Shadow Players, which is like, okay, so this is a theater trope who will reappear. A theater troupe.
Get it right, Joe.
It's not a trope, although maybe it is a trope. I don't know. A theater troupe who will reappear every episode to comment on the episode's themes or events in the form of a shadow play. To make things difficult, these two characters don't have names, but in the credits, they're known as Aiko and Biko, which just mean girl A and girl B. So I'm just going to call them that.
Yes. Well, that's like in the soda commercial and Skip Beat. That's the characters Moko and Kyoko play, or Aiko and Biko. So I just think of that when I see that. But
right. Anyway, they give us a little performance with a comment that the brave hero will fight for a friend. But does she know the code they use in the forest? That's pretty much their little segment there. We'll get one of those every episode, basically. Back in reality, Utena goes to the forest, which is closed off by an enormous gate, and she tries the handle, which is like shaped like a trigger of a gun, but it's locked.
It just looks like you're pulling out a coffee mug. I was going to say, it just looks like a handle for like a...
Yeah, it's just like a big handle.
Mm-hmm.
Suddenly, a single water drop emerges from the water and strikes the rose seal on her finger of the hand that gripped the handle. And this activates a series of events, causing the water to pour out and the gate to open, transforming into a gigantic rose in the process. And Utena's like, that's weird. Oh, well, I guess I could go in now.
Yeah, I feel like the ripple effect, like a dark screen with like ripple that's super highlighted, as a popular visual in anime in the 90s, because you see this a lot in Cardcaptor Sakura as well.
People know how to animate water nicely, so they want to do it all the time.
Yeah.
We get another sequence that will reoccur almost every episode. This one is called Absolute Destiny Apocalypse, named after the song that plays, which has the same title. Basically, this sequence consists of Utena ascending an impossibly tall spiral staircase up to the dueling area, during which her, like, while she's walking up, like, the geometry becomes impossible, and an image of a 3D inverted castle appears in the sky above her. The sequence goes all the way until she reaches the dueling area, which is like a huge flat circle.
Which I must say, I think, I don't know if this is just on the YouTube clip or just all ways that you watch this sub, but I'm like, don't put the lyrics on the screen, because then I'm just going to be reading the lyrics instead of looking at the environment. Just play the song for me to listen to. I just got distracted reading the lyrics. But yeah, it's I hope the other guy had to scale the same steps and there wasn't like an elevator for him, because she's going to be tuckered out by the time she gets to the top for this duel.
Yeah, it's a very
quite a
weird
ways to go.
It's like a huge number of stairs because it like spirals up, and then it spirals up at an angle.
It's crazy.
It's pretty wild. Utena always shows up
forest
last.
Forest is a crazy place.
Yeah. This sequence is going to show up a lot. The song is crazy. There is, so I didn't mention this in the top, but there is a really good set of like fan websites that go through and like have a bunch of information about Revolutionary Girl Utena called NT Movement. It's like ntmovement.com has a bunch of information as well as like transcripts of all of the songs. So it's the lyrics of the songs translated by all of the people who translated. So like each song has like 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, like 6 translations on the site, actually more than that. So it's a very comprehensive website.
Oh.
So if you ever want to look at any of the lyrics of the songs that play, that's a good place to do it. They also have, you know, links to all the other stuff and a lot of information. I'm probably going to be referencing NT Movement quite a bit as we go through this. Anyway, the sequence ends and Utena is like, well, first off, I sorry didn't ask, did you think the sequence was cool?
I was like, oh, we've got like dramatic music playing. Not a musical, but it was very like spotlight on the lyrics and the singing. So I was like, this is interesting. Don't see this very much in anime, it felt like. Yeah, it's cool. It's definitely, I'm watching and I'm just like, okay, we have like normal school. Well, it's not a normal school, but like kids going in kind of normal school uniforms to a school system. But then there's all this crazy stuff. So thank God Utena doesn't know what's going on, so that at least I'll be explained. It'll be explained to her and me at the same time of what is happening. I'm just kind of like, oh, there's a lot of weird things.
Yeah.
I'm following it. Thank God it's not like confusing. Like it's pretty easy to follow what everyone's saying. It's just a matter of like, okay, I'm waiting for explanations. But yeah. How about you? You absolutely adore this sequence. And
oh, I think the sequence is awesome. And I think it's very cool. I like repeated sequences. As a fan of Miraculous Ladybug, I like it when they repeat stuff. Good.
Yeah, we gotta watch like a full-blown magical girl, because that is right up in there with the freaking transformation every single goddamn episode.
Oh, yeah. Good every time. Anyway, the sequence ends and Utena's like, what is this 3D spinning castle in the sky? What is that? And Saionji, who's in in a prince uniform, he's in his like student council uniform, is just like, it's a mirage. Anyway, you can just ignore it. Who cares? Like, completely uninterested in what it actually is.
Yeah, she doesn't push it. She just rolls with it.
Yep. He shows her his rose seal, which is identical to hers, and tells her that these qualify them to be duelists. And she's like, what? And then he calls Anthy over, who's wearing an enormous red dress to prep them for the duel.
Yeah, she's decked out.
She places a green rose in Sionji's breast pocket and a white rose in Utena's. And Utena is like, wait, why is Anthy here? But Sionji explains that the Rhodes Bride's place is here at the duel, so she has to be here. And Utena's just like, all right. Sure. Anthy explains that you win the duel if you can destroy your opponent's rose, and Utena notes that Anthy smells just like roses, just like the prince did. How weird. Then Anthy wishes Utena good luck, prompting Sionji to slap her again, and Utena's like, what the hell, man? Anthy apologizes to Sionji for, like, cheering on his opponent, and Utena protests, but Anthy then explains that the current champion duelist is Sionji, and Anthy must do whatever he says. And Utena is like, I don't understand what's going on, but she's like, all right, but if I win, then you won't have to do that, right? So she's got two reasons to win now, I guess.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
We get another sequence that will be repeated every episode in which Anthony summons the power of Dios from herself and manifests it as a sword. Visually.
Yeah. Grab that sword out of her bosom.
This involves her summoning an orb of light in front of her chest and then being dipped by the champion, where the hilt of the sword appears within the orb of light, and then the champion pulls it out of her chest, which he does, and Sionji says
it's pretty cool looking.
It's pretty cool
sequence. It's just like, what the hell? It's again with the like, what's happening.
It's also totally out of nowhere, like,
and I mean, freaking Utena's, I feel like, should be more phased by these fantastical things happening than she is.
Not only is she not phased, she's going to be the one doing this next episode.
Yes. Yes. So she just, and then she, okay. Yeah. And then it's like,
yeah,
we're saying things while we do it. So it's like, the revolution, blah. Yep. We just know the words magically.
So when you pull out the sword, the champion says, grant me the power to bring the world revolution, and then church bells ring and the duel begins. That's how the fight always starts. They begin to duel, but Utena is using a kendo sword, which is like made of bamboo, and Sionji is using a real ass sword. Sionji taunts Utena for acting like a boy as he cuts through her sword. She's like, wait, why do you get a real sword? And he's like, well, yeah, it's the sword of Dios. Of course I'm going to use that. I'm the champion. And Utena's like, what does that mean? But she doesn't back down. She rushes him, remembering the words of the prince in the fairy tale. And she and Sionji strike one another, and we see that somehow Utena has destroyed Sionji's rose, winning the duel. Anthy sees
this. Sorry, I was going to say, like, with Rose of Versailles, there was sword play. So, and this is like 20 years after that. So I'll be interested to see like where we've come as far as like showing the action of swordplay between Rose of Versailles and this. Because I feel like it was just, it was like the typical like you cross paths and the wait for like someone to drop kind of reveal the who was the loser thing.
Yeah.
So hopefully we get more sequences of like actual.
Yeah. Well, we get a longer sequence in the second episode.
Yeah.
The first episode is very like samurai movie. We both hit each other and then one of them falls down kind of thing.
Yeah, yeah.
Let's see. Anthy sees this and regards Sionji as her senpai instead of her master. Rip, Sionji. nearby, Toga, who has been watching the duel through opera glasses, is impressed with Utena and says she lights a fire in him. I think he calls her baby in this episode.
Yeah, I don't like that. Did not like that. I was like, what the
Very
heck?
Funny line read.
Not a fan. It was weird.
Yep. Later, Utena goes home and wonders what the hell all that was about. And then she runs into Anthy, and Anthy says that she is the Rose Bride. And from now on, she belongs to Utena as we cut to credits. What do we think about the first episode of Revolutionary Girl Utena?
I like it's more exciting for sure of a show so far already. I have questions, but I feel like it's just going to be a matter of watching it more. Anthy, it's like, okay, she's got Hime in her last name.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, that's princess in there. And then the whatever Rose Bride, like, we'll get more. I'm assuming she's related to the prince in some way.
Mm-hmm.
Does the fact that the prince and her are like, which is like the first time in any of the anime we're really covering that we're seeing anyone who's not just, you know, of clear Japanese descent. So. Is it like the I'm assuming she's from the cat. I'm just wild speculation. She's from the kingdom and the castle in the sky. Is it like that's like the citizens of that? But no one else is reacting to the fact.
Yeah. So I guess I didn't say this, listener. If you're not watching it, Anthy has noticeably darker skin than everybody else.
Yeah. Which we do not have the pleasure of seeing as much. Even in anime today, so it's nice to see an anime from, you know, quite a while ago. So I'll be interested to see, because it seems like the prince is, I'm assuming her and the prince are related somehow, and it's going to be...
Because they both have
like,
purple hair.
Oh, I thought I was like, I've seen the opening has like, where we see a little bit
of
him.
Yes, that does show up in the opening. We didn't talk about the opening.
Yes. No, opening's fine. I don't like it as much as the Rose of Versailles one. Like,
yeah.
But we have fun. We just love roses. The one true flower of shoujo is the rose.
Oh yeah.
Strong icon.
How do you like the characters so far? How do we like Toga, the red haired boy who says baby?
I don't like that he is. I don't know. I feel like he's just going to be generically whatever. I feel like he's going to be a whatever person. He's just like cool, mellow dude who maybe, I don't know. It's hard to say because like these people are showing up in the opening, which makes me think they're all, but he seems interested in Utena, but it seems like they're all vying for the Rose Bride. So it's like, is it going to be a rivalry between these characters, or is it going to be like, we think Utena is the best person to revolutionize whatever, so we support her versus Sionji. I don't know. I'm trying to guess, but kind of indifferent. He is. I do like his hair. I didn't like the baby line. Hopefully that was one and done.
It's
there.
So funny.
The curly haired lady, I feel like she'll be mean, or maybe she's mean to, she's just giving off mean girl vibes.
Oh, yeah. Orange haired girl,
and then
student council.
It'll be interesting. I like Utena so far. We don't know very much of, like, she just has sword. She's just princely, so she must have. I like some background on, like, she just has these skills. She's just naturally gifted.
She's a jock, yeah.
She's good at everything, yeah.
Yeah.
I don't. The one I'm most interested to learn more about is Anthy.
Mm-hmm.
She's kind of just like a blank slate right now, but I feel like also the key to everything that's gonna happen. So hopefully she gets. I mean, obviously she's doing things.
Yeah,
and she's important. Hopefully with Utena she gets more like, this is what I would like to be happening to me rather than the whole. Flap me around if that's what you want.
Yep.
Vibe. And we get a mascot next episode.
We do get a mascot next episode.
Yeah.
Oh, maybe we should talk about that. All right, I'll get into Duel 2, For Whom the Rose Smiles. We open on Utena going to school and all the women love her. Yeah, all the ladies love Utena. Utena goes to class and sees Wakaba reading a book, and she wonders how she's feeling about the love letter incident from yesterday, because events carry over from one episode to the other, even though it seems kind of episodic. She tries to greet Wakaba normally, but Wakaba does not respond, and after a beat, Wakaba tells her that the book she's reading is about a woman spurned, and she always thought that was lame, but now she gets it. She's like, this book's great now, which I thought was very cute.
Yeah, she seems like a fun little... I wonder if she'll get jealous over Anthy. I bet her she'll be jealous of Anthy.
Mm.
Then it'll be like Utena and Anthy get close kind of thing. But I don't think she actually is infatuated with Utena. I think she just is her friend. But
yeah, well, she does. She does. The next thing she's like, Utena, you're the only one for me. And Utena's like, all right, knock it off. And then we see Anthy, who's also in their class.
Well, it sounded like I didn't think Utena was in their class, because in episode one, when what's her name?
Wakaba.
Which is a fun name. Where are we? I feel like there's other shows where I've heard the name Wakaba. It's a fun name. Was like, oh yeah, she's in my class this semester, which seemed like Utena wasn't in their class, or else she would have known who the heck Anthy was.
Yeah.
But whatever.
We get a new reoccurring sequence of the student council meeting where they ride the elevator up to the student council meeting room, and Toga says the following. Quote, if it cannot break its shell, a chick will die without being born. We are the chick. The world is our egg. If we don't crack the world shell, we will die without being born. Smash the world shell. And then they all say, for the revolution of the world.
Okay.
What's going on here?
I was like, okay. Like, I didn't like that. Well, I understand what they're trying to say, I guess. So I was like, okay. We haven't even got an explanation of anything.
Nope. They're just saying their club motto.
A little premature. Yeah, basically.
Which is like, we need to revolutionize the world before we get smashed.
Well, can we learn what is wrong with the world as it is that needs to be revolutionized?
Good question.
Which is pretty generic world. Like, what?
Those are good questions.
What are you guys? Yeah.
Yeah. Anyway, the council meeting starts with Toga asking if they all received letters from End of the World. And the letter says that Sionji lost and Anthy is now engaged to Utena. And they wonder how somebody who's not on the student council could have a rose seal. And then they talk about what they're going to do. And they got to do something or else they won't be able to revolutionize the world. And while all of this is happening, they're playing like Go Fish or something.
Yes. I wonder... Do we get at any point the information of how long it's been since Utena was given the ring? Because she's in middle school, so surely it's not been that long. But I'm like, what's the history of the student council? And are these people like successors of the rings from like an old gen or whatever? Yeah, I'm like interested. So many questions.
Yep, we don't really get much of an explanation.
But I will get, no.
What we do get is that Utena is not on the student council. And usually only people on the student council have the rings. But it's not clear if having the ring puts you on the student council, which I guess it doesn't, or Utena would already be on the student council. So I don't know.
Of which, can a middle schooler be on the student council?
Yeah, right. Good question. Well, I actually kind of know the answer to that question, but
yeah, you know the answer to everything.
I don't know the answer to everything. Again, like, it's a little vague. The reason I'm excited about this show is that I'm going to be able to understand stuff if we take it slower than when I watched it originally. Anyway, like, all of these sequences are like a combination of like comedy while they're playing cards or Go Fish or whatever. Like, they're always doing something kind of unserious while talking about this stuff, which I think is funny.
Speaking of Go Fish, I learned that Go Fish, you're supposed to get four of a kind to get.
What?
I had grown up playing it where it's like you get two, a pair,
yeah.
And that's like, then you remove it from the game. But apparently, and I Googled it, and Google says that you're supposed to get four of a kind to remove them from your hand.
Did Google say that, or did the AI overview say that? Did the hallucination bot say that? Yeah, that's what I thought.
That
you can't trust that thing. I think it's a liar.
Maybe it's a regional thing, because the person I talked to I was playing Go Fish with, and is like, "What? So I thought you only need two." And my sister is like, "Yeah, maybe it's a regional thing." I was like, "This is way too hard. If you have to wait to get four, and people can take it from you, and then
Yeah, that sounds like a bad game. That sounds like a really unfun game.
Anyway.
After school, Utena and Wakaba walk back to the dorms. They're assigned to different dorms, and Utena is assigned to a mostly unused dorm that Wakaba says is haunted. Utena goes to her dorm to find that she's the only one there, and most of the rooms are in, like, disrepair, like, destroyed state.
Asbestos.
Yeah. She goes to her room to find that it's actually fine. Not only that, but Anthy is here, and she's cleaned the whole room. And she also says that they'll be sharing the room, and Utena's like, but isn't this supposed to be a singles room? But then looks at the nameplate to see that Anthy has just written her name in marker under Utena's name.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, it's like, did this poor girl have to share a room with that awful guy? I'm like, what has Anthy been through?
I don't know. We don't know.
Ooh.
This room's huge, though. These dorms are nice.
Yes. Well, they're the only residents of it, seemingly.
That's true. It's very funny that they're sharing a room, even though they don't have to, because they have the whole run of the place.
Mm-hmm.
Utena unpacks while Anthy explains that they share a room because she's the Rose Bride and now she's engaged to Utena as Utena is the current champion of the duels. And Utena's like, okay, sure. Utena and Anthy have tea. Utena asks Anthy about the floating castle and the trick sword, but Anthy dodges the question. She's like, Utena's like, how can you dodge the question? You like summoned this sword. Why do you do that? And Anthy's like, I summoned the sword for the same reason you wear boys' uniform. It's just like a thing you like doing, so I just do it. It's just like that. You like to put on a little performance. I like to put on a little performance. They're basically the same. And Utena's like, I guess.
It doesn't seem like you're having fun doing it or like you have much of a autonomy in the situation, but whatever.
Good question. I feel like we should always be thinking about if Anthony's having fun doing this.
It's not seemingly.
Doesn't seem like it.
Seems very just indifferent or resigned.
Yeah.
But we don't know what kind of stakes she's under.
A good question.
Like why? Because we don't know. Okay, it's fine.
Yeah.
We'll learn eventually.
Utena gets distracted when she sees a tiny little monkey eating a tea biscuit, and Anthy introduces the monkey as her friend Choo Choo. Mascot. We get the mascot.
I know. I like that he's like, this is the part where he's like choking on it and she helps him like clear his throat. I thought that was fun.
I love Choo Choo.
Yeah, fun little guy.
This is like a little weird guy.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we love a little critter.
Utena continues asking questions, this time about the rose seal ring. She's like, how come all the duelists have one? And Anthy explains that everybody who has one is a duelist, and as the champion, they can all challenge Utena to a duel. And Utena's like, what do you mean? I'm not going to accept a duel from some random people on the student council. I don't care about this stuff. And Anthy's like, that's the rules. You got to do it.
We got to speak on, this is very much reminding me of the Witch from Mercury.
Because it's literally the like exact same?
Yeah.
Okay.
It's so... Yeah,
it's literally the same exact premise.
That's like this.
Mobile Suit Gundam: The Witch from Mercury. If you haven't seen that, the first episode is basically just the first episode of Revolutionary Girl Utena, but with Gundams, which is why it's good. But also, completely the same.
Yeah, never finished that, but
yeah, it's okay. It kind of becomes a different thing at the end. So
yeah, it feels the politics. Hopefully there's not too many politics in this.
No, we're not going to be talking about like...
But you like it, so maybe there is.
I like this for different reasons. There are politics, but they're not that kind of politics.
Okay, good. I don't like space politics.
There are no space politics in this.
Good. Even though there's a castle in space, basically. Well, kind of.
Cut to Sionji practicing with a sword. Toga comes in to talk to him, and Sionji declares that he's going to win Anthy back because he belongs to her. I have a crush on her for real, Sionji says, and Toga's like, are you sure about that? Meanwhile...
Yeah, you're not calling her baby like he is to freaking Utena creepily from afar, like peeps on her.
Meanwhile, at the dorms, Utena is waiting for Anthy to come to dinner because it's just the two of them. Somebody has made this food. I don't know who made this food.
I'm assuming Anthy.
I guess so. But Choo Choo
scrubbing the floors, cooking the food.
That's true. That does seem like an Anthy thing to do. Chuchu comes out to warn her that Anthy's in trouble. Outside, Anthy explains to Sionji that they're not engaged anymore and I'm not in love with you. And Sionji gets upset and slaps Anthy. Anthy's slap counter goes up to 3.
Yeah, it's a lot.
I'd be interested to see. It's just him, hopefully, who treated her like that, because all the other members seem to not be as into that. I'd be interested to see if there's any duration of the show where she's engaged to someone that isn't Sionji or Utena, and what that dynamic looks like.
Mm-hmm. You think Utena's just going to run the table, win every duel forever?
Surely not. We got like, how many episodes we
39.
Got? 39. Like 40 or something? 39? Surely there's going to be some, it sounds like there's going to be a lot of dueling, and they can't possibly introduce that many characters, so I'm assuming I don't know, we'll see.
We'll see.
We'll see.
Utena bursts out to confront him, and Sionji challenges Utena to a rematch, but Utena refuses because she's not interested in the Rose Bride. She was just fighting for Wakaba's like honor before. But Sionji's like, it doesn't matter what you care about. Those are the rules. So Utena's like, all right, fine. I guess I accept your duel, or else I get thrown out of this academy. Sionji leaves, and Utena says that she had to accept the duel, but she's just going to lose on purpose. And Anthy's like, yeah, sure. Do whatever you think is best. But she's clearly sad about it. We get our Kashira Shadow Player segment, and they talk about how it might be more difficult to throw a duel than one might think. I wonder what'll happen. Late at night, Utena goes to the dueling grounds, and we get another round of Absolute Destiny Apocalypse. However, this time, since Utena is the champion, as she ascends, Anthy uses her bride powers to transform Utena's uniform into a prince uniform as she's walking up the stairs.
So slightly. It's just the slightest of alterations.
Yeah.
That happens. No impact. It's just a little extra flair.
It's flair. It matters.
The ruffles and like a little shoulder pad action. Does it?
Well, the thing is that Utena claims she's dressing like a prince, but she's only can get so far on her own. She needs Anthy for the finishing touches. You know what I mean? Then she's really a prince.
I guess so. Well, it'd be nice if it was like, she had told Anthy that, and then Anthy's like, oh, I'll do that for you. Well, because, like, was the other guy having extra embellishments that he doesn't have now that on his uniform that she gave, or she only gave it to Utena?
He had embellishments in the first duel, and now he's just wearing a student
that
council uniform.
Okay.
I didn't look to see if they were the same, but this is he's wearing the uniform he wears at the student council in this scene, for sure.
Yeah. Okay.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, well, they don't have to talk. And just like they don't have to talk, Anthy does the Sword of Dio segment with Utena this time, who just knows what to do because she's prince mode. You just know if you're the champion, you know what to do. You don't have to think about
just
it.
Just getting the sword.
You play the part in front of you.
Yeah. Well, that's the thing about like Cardcaptor. Well, we'll cover Cardcaptor at some point, but like hers is like, oh, I got to come up with my own thing. I can't just copy what. She like has to come up with her own little calling. She, you know, like it's not just doesn't come to her. She's got to do it herself kind of thing, which is nice.
Mm-hmm.
Anyways.
For this duel, Sionji is using a regular sword. So they're both using a sword this time. So it'll be a proper duel. So here we go. They begin fighting as Anthy watches on. Utena is supposed to be throwing the fight, but is kind of like hanging in there for a while. But eventually Sionji gets the upper hand when something unexpected happens. He knocks Utena down and is about to strike when suddenly her rose seal lights up, and from the inverted castle above, the specter of a prince descends and inhabits Utena's body, which is censored when it happens, by the way.
Why is that? Okay, because I was like, what is this? Where it's just like a big old flower decal slapped on the screen.
Yep.
Was that in the version that you watched
when
you watched it?
Mm-hmm.
Why?
That's I'm
what?
Watching
just
the Blu-rays.
Just because of the little ghost wind.
So it's on
why?
There.
Why? Is
why?
That
why would that happen? Why would it be censored when they merge? Much to think about. She stands up.
Is it going to be uncensored at some point?
There's not. No, it's not uncensored. Like, this is not a censorship thing. This is intended that way.
Weird.
Yeah.
It's bizarre.
It's bizarre. It's kind of out of nowhere. But also, she stands up and strikes Sionji, breaking both his sword and his rose. Also censored when she hits him this time. Not the first time.
Why? Or do it.
Again,
I guess it's intended to be super obvious.
I want to make this clear here that this is not a censorship thing. Like when I'm saying it's censored, I mean like literally something is put on display to cover it. There's going to be stuff in this show that you think probably should have gotten censored for real that did not get censored. So this is not a censorship thing. This is just like the way it's displayed. They did this on purpose.
It's weird. Okay.
You are not allowed to gaze upon the merging of the prince and Utena.
Okay.
Or when she strikes Sionji down as Prince Utena.
Okay.
Everybody is shocked. Anthy, Utena, Sionji, and Toga, who's also watching nearby. Toga comments that this is the power of Dios. So same name as the sword. While this is going on, I didn't mention this in the first one, but each fight has a song. The background music of this song is essentially a chorus reciting a list of time periods and creatures that evolved over times, with lines like the Paleozoic era inside your body. And there's a really good write-up about it on the satirist.org website. So you can look up some stuff about what these things mean. But yeah, very funny song in the background.
Uh-huh. Interesting.
Back at the dorm, Utena tells Anthy that she won, but not for her. She won for Chuchu, since if Anthy went back to Sionji, Chuchu would be bullied by Sionji. So I'm not doing it for you, Anthy. I didn't win that first duel for you either.
He did stomp on poor Chuchu earlier.
Anthy smiles as we cut to credits.
Mm-hmm. I have lots of questions, but we're just going to keep watching to have those answers.
But what do you think? I want to know what you think about it. Because this is like not like any of the other shows we watched. This is just like throwing a bunch of stuff at you.
Yeah, it is. This is officially a shoujo, like this is shoujo category, right?
Yes, like this is.
Or published.
Yeah, so a big thing about this is that like they wanted... They're going to comment on a lot of shoujo stuff. Like eventually this is like, or essentially in the beginning, this was supposed to be like a more mainstream. We're going to have an episodic shoujo show. Cause part of this comes out of the fact that, Ikuhara doesn't like the adapting. Like he didn't like adapting Sailor Moon. Cause he couldn't be as creative with it. Cause you have the source material to work with. So he was kind of just trying to make his own thing. It kind of became like avant-garde and weird later on.
Yeah.
Okay. And they tried really hard to make sure that like, cause they're going to comment on a lot of shoujo elements. Like this is, people describe this as a deconstruction of fairy tales and commenting on shoujo genre tropes. But he does state a lot of times that they tried really hard to make sure this isn't a parody. So it's definitely supposed to be shoujo. Like it's designed to be that.
It's intended not for the audience of shoujo typically.
Like shoujo audience is supposed to consume this.
Okay. I'm interested. This is different. So that's good for covering something new. And yeah, like the art style. Because this is kind of Yuri or no?
Good question. Kind of.
Implied. Whatever.
It's like on the page it is, right? Where it's like, oh, we're engaged. But also like, Utena and Anthy don't act like, well, Utena is especially like very unsure about Anthy.
Yeah.
In the same way that I, the viewer, am unsure about Anthy.
Much to go off on. Yeah.
So it like aligns them to be a couple, but they're not a couple. You know what I mean?
Is there going to be like, is it all pretty plotty or are there like fun, like, I don't know, beach episode equivalents of like going off and doing a random thing just for fun with the group? Or is it all pretty like the end of the world and the eggshell? We must.
Yeah, it's kind of interspersed. Like there will be episodes that are kind of just like one off. Like some episodes will just straight up be like gag episodes, right? Like it'll be like a TV show that would air in the 90s, right? But other episodes are going to be like this, where like we're doing capital P plot stuff.
Mm, gotcha. Okay. Well, I mean, rewatch. I was rewatching it. Like, things you're catching. Not that you had to say what, but like, you're like, oh, now that I've seen it in its entirety, this is like hitting differently.
Well, there's like some stuff I can look for a little bit. But I'm really just like trying to watch it more closely this time. So knowing like stuff that happens in the future really isn't that important to like understanding the show, I feel like. It's really just trying to pay attention to who's saying what, who's doing what, how are people regarding themselves, right? Where it's like Utena kind of signposting that she is trying to be a prince and not a boy is interesting, or like she's doing a performance. And so it makes sense when she becomes the champion that she kind of like knows how to do the sort of Dio sequence because she's performing. Like that is explicitly what she's trying to do. And I think that's interesting. So there's like stuff I can look at that way, which is I can pay more attention to how it shows up. So that's kind of how I'm watching it this time, as opposed to just being like, damn, all this stuff is happening. That's crazy.
I'm because this is newer, so I feel like I'm seeing like there's an anime called Princess Tutu.
Yep.
That part of that, the way with the like the shadow ladies speculating things is remind, or you know, I feel like Princess Tutu has things that remind me of that, so it'll be interesting to compare to other things I've seen.
Yeah,
because Rose of Versailles is the only thing. Well, no, that's not true. Cardcaptor Soccer probably came out before this. So trying to think of what I've consumed that was shoujo that would have come out before this, that this would be possibly deconstructing.
Princess Tutu came out in 2002.
That's new. Yeah,
that's the.
See, that's not even that long after this. You know.
Yeah, that would have been 5 years later.
5 years after this.
Cardcaptor Sakura, the comic. Started in 1996.
Okay.
And then the anime
Marmalade Boy
is 1998.
Marmalade. I'm like, what's the.
So.
Oh, I guess like maybe.
That was earlier.
Akazuki and Cha Cha. That's the only other older one I've watched, but that one's kind of atypical.
That's 1994. Yeah. Cha-cha. Or 19.
Yeah.
The manga is 1992.
That one's super comedy though, so that one's a bit. Yeah, I guess the Rose of Versailles is going to be the closest thing.
Well, I mean, I watch like you've seen some original Sailor Moon, right?
Yeah, I guess so.
Like we didn't watch it for the podcast, but like I've seen some. My friend is
no
friend of the pod. Jenny has been watching some of the DIC dub, so I've been watching some of
that. That's what you got her, right? You got her for like last Christmas or something.
Yes. I was able to find the DIC's dub somewhere on the internet and was able to get that to her. So that's funny. But yeah, so I feel like that's going to be the comparison point I have, is like what I remember of original Sailor Moon anime.
Gotcha. Okay. Princess Knight, I feel like I've seen it. Is it, maybe it's on Crunchy. I've seen it somewhere. I feel like, but I don't know why I was under the impression it wasn't that well received.
I don't know. Well, I mean, like the, you know.
It has like a 3.2 on Crunchyroll. That's what I've seen.
3.2. So I mean, this is an anime from 1967.
Ah, damn.
They have it on YouTube also. I might watch this. I feel like.
What if Fushigi?
I feel like maybe I should watch this as we're going along. How many episodes does this have?
How many more things can you can Joe put on his plate?
I mean, the thing is, like, I don't have to summarize. Okay, listen, we can only do two episodes of Utena right now because summarizing it is hard. Hopefully that'll get less hard as like the repeated. I don't have to describe Absolute Destiny Apocalypse a second time.
Yeah.
But I feel like for the time being, we're going to stick to two episodes because it is not easy to summarize these things, especially when like a lot of stuff is happening. Like I gloss over a lot of stuff. Like if you watch this, you're going to be maybe you're going to be surprised by the number of things I didn't mention. That just kind of happen. That's because it's a very dense show.
Good.
52 episodes.
Let's see.
Princess.
There's even like Fushigi Yugi came out right before this too. So I'm surprised this hasn't, because I feel like I don't know what I would have been looking. I guess when I first started watching anime, it was a lot of it was shoujo, and I was first watching in like 2006, but I guess I wasn't on the internet looking for things until probably like 2008. But this is just Revolutionary Girl Utena. It was not one that was ever presented to me and whatever I was searching for.
So, yeah, I know about this show. The reason I know about this show is that people have talked about it being inspiration for stuff that showed up in Steven Universe when I was into Steven Universe when it was coming out. Maybe we should watch that as a bonus. You haven't seen that, right?
Yeah. I haven't.
It's pretty good. I wonder if it holds up. I'm thinking it's going to hold up.
Yeah. Well, you've got your 2025 is the year of Sarah making us suffer through Jurassic Park. What is 2026 going to be? That's up to Joe's discretion.
That's right.
What do we do for bonus episodes?
Yeah, Princess Knight is on Crunchyroll, and it is not written. Yeah. This is a lot of one-star ratings. The thing is,
maybe people just don't like old anime.
Maybe it's good. Maybe it's good. The thing is, anime fans don't have good taste.
That's true.
I'm throwing that out there. My anime list is, if you look at anything, it sucks. Everybody, this is not even a controversial thing. Everybody knows this. Everybody knows that anime fans don't have good taste. So maybe this is actually secretly good.
Maybe.
Who knows? Or maybe they're right and it sucks. But if they're right and it sucks, I don't want to. I feel like I still don't want to give anime fans credit.
Mm-hmm.
But we'll see. Maybe I'll watch it. We'll see. I'll let you know if I watch it.
Sweet. So your mom doesn't like the art style. Is she hanging on? She thinks she's gonna, or was she like, at least Sarah kind of came around to my happy. I haven't gotten a Joe mom take update in a while. What we got? She likes Utena so far.
Last time I talked to her, she was only like 5 minutes in. She's like, I'm having a hard time with the art style and how short the skirts all are because it's 90s.
Oh,
and all this other stuff, and I'm like,
not watched enough.
You just gotta get used to it. Like, yeah, it's kind of weird. They look kind of weird. They're like long and pointy, but you know,
they are. Yeah.
You'll just get used to it, and then you won't notice anymore. Truly, the experience of watching anime.
Yes, and mini skirts are back. I think so.
Oh,
it's back.
It's back. It's back. Mini skirts are back.
I feel like I'm seeing mini skirts, or at least I feel like I'm seeing them more. I don't think I've seen people wearing them. I feel like I'm seeing them on clothing racks right now. Okay. So somebody's wearing them. They were a thing in like 2000.
That's because all that stuff is coming back. You know, like 2000s fashion's coming back because that's how cycles work, even though the cycles are getting shorter now.
But it's never it's not like 1930s fashion that's coming back. It's just
that would be so funny. I want to wear a bowler hat. I want bowler hats to become popular again.
You can make it happen, Joe.
You think so?
Single-handedly, I think so.
Ugh.
You should start wearing like little like brooches or whatever, like a nice decorative brooch with
them. Oh yeah, okay.
That's the fun thing about the traders is that they all dress up super fancy for that show. Like, I don't think any of them are dressing like that day to day, so it's fun to see people dressing up for something. Lots of nice brooches in that. Right, well, I guess that's our coverage of Utena episodes 1 and 2.
Yeah.
So hopefully you guys enjoyed that. I'm definitely feeling more peppy with this.
Anything could happen in this show.
And truly.
If you enjoyed our coverage of Revolution Girl Utena, please rate us 5 stars out of 5 stars. It really helps us increase the discoverability of the podcast via the algorithms. It also helps if you leave a comment on Spotify or YouTube or any of the places you're listening to this where you can leave a comment. If you have questions or comments or things you want to say to us, you can email us at shoujopod@gmail.com. So please feel free to get in touch about stuff. If you enjoy the show and we release weekly most of the time, you can check us out on Instagram and things like that. But if you want to hear more from us, we have covered some other very good shows. We've mentioned The Rose of Versailles like 1,000 times this episode, but we also have watched Skip Beat. We watched Kimi ni Todoke, including the new-ish season that came out last year. We cover, we watched as bonus episodes, which are free to the public to listen to. We watched all of the Jurassic Park movies. All of them, even when they started getting bad, which was a Jurassic Park 2. So we got all sorts of coverage.
Lost World, good.
Lost World is okay. The third one is also okay.
Yes. What do we do? We freaking did the Star Wars holiday special. We did. So the bonus episodes are
just whatever we want to do.
On the table there.
It's when we just have fun.
Yes.
God.
Yeah. So definitely. If you want us to cover something that maybe doesn't fall under the typical window, or, you know, umbrella of shoujo, the bonus episodes are an opportunity. So be sure to reach out to us with those requests and maybe we'll consider it.
Yeah, it's a possibility.
Yeah. Yep, yep. All right. Okay. What did we learn?
Our last segment.
And
where we don't just watch and talk about anime. I don't just sit here and summarize and try to do a little analysis of it. No. We learn here at the Shoujo Podcast. So at the end of every episode, we like to come away with something that we learned. Sarah, what do you think we learned?
Oh, this is a Joe segment. This is where I throw something out there and then just we'll throw out five things that we learned. So what did we learn? Don't go into the forest with a lady slapper. Don't do that. Dangerous.
If you're going to a duel, you need to know what kind of duel it is. Don't bring a kendo sword if the other guy has a real ass sword. Somehow Utena pulled it out. I still don't really know how she did that, but I feel like if it was me, I would have just gotten stabbed.
Our last episode title was gun to sword fight. Yeah. Is this going to be kendo sword to sword fight? Was
you always got to match what the duel is, or at least go up. Never go down. You never want to be less prepared for the duel than what happens. Although it's a bad thing to learn from because Utena pulls it out. Maybe you should show up with a worse item. Maybe you'll still win.
If you're
going
to write love letters, do it on awesome stationery.
Oh, like yeah.
Wakaba did.
Yeah.
That was great.
That's good.
Should probably fancy paper there. Yeah.
You got nice paper.
Unless everyone knows it's your paper and then it gets put on display for mocking, and then everyone knows it's you, or your friend yells your name as you run away in tears, and then everyone knows it's you.
I didn't mention this, but a segment that's going to show up a lot in the student council things is the blue haired boy pressing the stopwatch. Just start timing stuff.
Yeah, what is that?
I have no idea what he's doing there. Okay, it's very funny. It's like, okay. It's very, I don't know what happens, but yeah.
Okay. Yeah, I was like, okay, what up with that? But okay, maybe it's just a quirk.
I don't know. It may have some significance. Again, this is a dense show. I'm probably missing half the stuff that's going on.
Okay. Well, that's what we're here for now.
That's right.
For Joe to deeply analyze and for me to nitpick and random things. Like, I don't like the size of the hoop earring that Choo Choo is wearing. I think it should be smaller.
Oh, it's smaller.
Whatever.
But his ears are huge.
Bigger the hoop, bigger the hoe.
Wow. Okay.
It's a saying. It's a saying. It was a saying back in the.
This does not reflect our opinions. This is just a saying we like to say because it rhymes.
Yeah. Yeah. We love a rhyme.
We all like rhyming here.
All right. And. Okay, nope, I can't think of any rhymes to the end. Now the end is near. I don't know.
Yep.
Thanks for listening, everyone.
The end is near. We're ending it here. Bye.
Yep. Perfect.
That's our song that we play at the end.
Yes. Outro song. Go.